This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and today we're doing a special Christmas movie extravaganza. I'm joined by Olivia Hammond, and we are going to be talking all about not only some very popular holiday Christmas movies, but also we are going to be talking about one of my all-time faves, and hopefully one of your all-time faves too, Serendipity. We are going to be going in and cutting it up. We are in a series of deep dives lately, and we are deep diving right into one of those fantabulous Christmas movies that I love watching every year. And I also have a few other favorites we'll talk about as well today. But I hope that you guys will truly just enjoy the banter of two thinking types today going at it for who we each think each character is. And when Wes and I went to New York City, we got to go to the Serendipity Cafe a couple years ago. And I'll be going with a good friend of mine this coming February. So I told her, make sure that you are watching this movie before we go so we can go back again. But it's just a fun fact that if you are in NYC or you are near there anytime, this is a really fun little restaurant and cafe with delicious desserts and all kinds of knickknacks. It's a really cool place, and it is actually still off the beaten path a little bit. It does get super crowded, but it isn't impossible to get a table, so even after the movie. So much fun. If you're familiar with Serendipity, you know that this is a movie with lots of A-listers, and we definitely always want to let you know who those people are. Writing credits, this movie was written by Mark Klein. We have John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale as the two protagonists who we hope will fall in love, and they play Jonathan Traeger and Sarah Thomas. And then we have the excellent best friend Jeremy Piven playing Dean Kansky and Molly Shannon playing best friend Eve. And then we also have John Corbett playing Lars Hammond and Bridget Monaghan playing Hallie Buchanan. So not only that, Eugene Levy is in it, and he's the Bloomingdale salesman. So this movie has a great cast, and it was written very well, obviously, directed by Peter Chalsom. And now we can get into the nitty-gritty with Olivia and I. So get in your Christmas jammies and have fun with us. Or if you're on your way to work, then just relax and enjoy the sleigh ride. I'm just joking, we're not in a sleigh, but we are having fun and finally letting go, because we have such long, hard weeks, and we want to make sure that we don't just make them all about the stress of, oh my gosh, I have to get to this play, I have to get to this event, I have to get to this party, I have to make sure that I don't forget this at work. And I know we all have to do all of that too, but we also just need time to chill. So consider this your weekend chill or your weekday chill, and let's dig deep and delve deep. And it's so nice to have Olivia back for this episode. We love our annual Christmas movie marathon fun. And just, she has so many different suggestions than I do that I think you guys are going to like. And you know, I get stuck on mine. You know, I get stuck on my LOTR stuff. I love You've Got Mail. I love Serendipity. I love While You Were Sleeping. Obviously, there's something theme-wise here. I like classics. So we're going to talk with Olivia about some modern movies as well. But this one, even my teen daughters love. So I hope you guys love too. And we will talk with Olivia now. Hey, Olivia, I'm so happy to have you back on the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be back. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I know we both look forward to our annual Christmas review now. So it's so fun. Thank you so much. This is going to be a blast.
Yes, I know. Last year's was just tons of fun. So I can't wait for this year's episode, because you had me watch a movie that I'd never seen before, but I had heard rave reviews about. So it's going to be good.
It is. And I made my daughters watch it too at our dance convention we were at. And Melody, my 9, actually said, Mom, I'm really surprised this movie was actually good, which tells you she doesn't always like my recommendations, but she's like, this was awesome. So
as luck would have it, you could even maybe call it serendipitous. Somebody that I know randomly, like the day after, was talking about how much they love Serendipity and showing clips from the movie and stuff. So I'm like, what are the odds of that? So, I mean, this was obviously meant to be.
It was absolutely meant to be. Chills are going up our spines right now as we get ready to review. But before we do, I want to just say I love and miss you. And me and Jen talk about you sometimes too. We all have different gifts and I love hers too. And I wanted to say that I love that you are out there just killing it with doing your own thing. And we miss you, but we love that you are just embracing online marketing and podcasting and just, you're just running the show. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know. I always am like, oh, working with Krista, those were the days. I probably talked about you like at least a couple times a week.
You are so fun. Well, and you went through seasons of lament with me. So this woman needs a loud standing ovation but luckily I found out she has a 4 in her tri-type also. So that's probably why it was tolerable. And so she's a 6, 8, 4, and your 6 and your 8 are really close, right?
Yeah. So especially like being a counterphobic 6, I always feel like I don't know what I am. And you know, that's like a hallmark of being a 6, though. You're always like, am I really this type?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. But I see it. And I love that you have that fire of the counterphobic 6. And I know you have that. And I know you have that 8 part of you. And like I said, the 4 was such a mystery to you and I, because you have such a practicality and a wit. And that just, 4s listening are like, don't you think we're practical and witty? Yes, I do. Because Olivia has shown me this.
I'm vouching for you guys.
Yes. There's so many nuances to each type. So we're all different, but let's talk a little bit about what we're going to do is of course, talk about serendipity. And I've pumped the audience up a little bit for this, but I also wanted to make sure that we talked about some other movies and also just first, even like, what is our movie motif?
I feel like motif is nice. It's a very underused word. We need to bring it back.
Okay, let's bring it back. So what do you do in your movie motif?
Well, I obviously have to have like some sort of snack. So I've always got, my big thing is cauliflower crust pizza. I freaking love cauliflower crust pizza. So good. So that or popcorn, you know, standard popcorn. It's just what we need. And then I don't know. For me, like I have to be comfy if I'm going to watch something. I can't be the person that's like doing something else while they're watching a movie that they want to be invested in, you know, whereas like my sister, she can do that. And she like pops in at random times and still can get the whole plot. But yeah, for me, I like being like on the couch reclined all the way with like tons of blankets, or I will wait until everybody else goes to bed and I'll watch a movie in my own bed and just like, you know, focus in on that.
I love that. And I love how you go to your 9 space, whether it's your 8 wing 9 or your 6 in 9, just health. You're like, okay, I need my 9 cozies. That's so fun.
Yeah. I have to be comfy or else I'm not going to watch.
And focus, which is cool. I think that you get more out of your movies anyway, when you do that.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Well, I have to have my hot tea usually going, and I love to be curled up with somebody. It's just kind of part of my stimming as a 7 and how fast I run. Like you almost can't get me down unless you like lay over top of me and just like wrestle me down onto this huge oversized beanbag we have on the floor. And I share it with my dog and I pet him and he growls and stuff like that. And then like Wes will scratch my back, and you know, so we're all like scratching each other's backs. And of course, hands in the bowl of popcorn as well. Possibly Raisinets if I was lucky enough to have those. That's amazing. That would be like a super treat.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I know what to get you for your birthday and Christmas.
Then again, I have that 7 thing going, so maybe not, but no, it's okay. I love it, and we all deserve our treats sometimes. So I still keep my treats in, and that hot tea kind of goes when I am like no treats. But I think that we really have similar styles and that we both like to focus on the movie, even if it takes us different spaces and ways to get there. So I'm wondering if our audience, as they're thinking about their holiday movie viewing, can be intentional like we are. Like, I know I want to watch a movie. I know this is how I want to do it. And I think that's really fun that you can do it even on your own too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I was going to say, as far as some of our other movies, before we get into our main movie, Serendipity, what are another couple of movies that you love to watch over the season?
Gosh, this is like a difficult question. It's like asking my favorite song. Yes. No, but for family friendly, one of my all-time favorites, and it's so ridiculous because I don't even know why I like it so much, mm-hmm. but it's a Good Luck Charlie, It's Christmas. I might have mentioned this last year too. I don't know, but Good Luck Charlie, It's Christmas is so good. You can stream it on like Disney Plus or buy it on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to be talking about types, I want to mention the main character's type. So the main character, Teddy, I feel like, because there's a series that goes along with the movie. So I feel like her main type is a self-preserving six. That's what she just strikes me as. I don't know. I'm just saying. And then one of the other ones that is like a series you can watch. So there's three different movies. The third one, I think, just came out this year. It's called The Princess Switch and it's on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you can watch it for free. And then, of course, the Santa Claus trilogy. Yes, you know, you should totally watch it. It's so good.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know you loved the Santa Claus trilogy with Tim Allen.
I love that.
Awesome. We just watched the third one the other day.
Okay, I was just going to say the third one is my favorite.
Martin Short.
I know. I love it. I love Martin Short. Oh my goodness. But I feel like I want to get your thoughts on this because this kind of stumps me. So I feel like the main character is Cal, right? I just had like a total brain fart.
It's okay. I think so. Yeah.
I think it is. Okay. Wow. I've seen this movie for like 2 decades now. That's fine. Anyways, I think he goes like before pre-Santa Claus days, I think he's a 3. And then I think once he becomes Santa Claus, he's like a 1-wing 9. Would you agree?
I love that you just said that because I hadn't thought about that movie in particular with characters, but definitely was a 3 before. And had to learn his, you know, just how we all have to learn our route. And yeah, seeing his wife with that therapist, new husband played by Judge Reinhold. I don't know if I said his name right, but it's kind of like he has to swallow a lot of his pride and his glory. And I think you're right. Like the Santa Claus that we think of has this good, there's a 9 in there. There's a 1 in there. So that really is a fun fit. And because he's Santa, he can switch Enneagram types, right?
True. I mean, he basically becomes a whole different person. So why not?
Exactly. Oh my gosh, that's funny. And Martin Short is like, I always think of him as a 7, but what do you think of him as in that movie when he's Jack Frost?
Oh man. I mean, he is wheeling and dealing trying to get his way. So I don't know. I mean, he's very charming. Mm-hmm. He can kind of like work himself into any situation. So I'm getting 3 vibes, right? Like that chameleon able to kind of like fit to whatever the situation needs. So I feel like probably a 3.
That makes a lot of sense. I really think that unfortunately we don't see the healthy 3s in the movies as much, you know, it's like, but sometimes we do see them transition. I know. It's true. We have to villainize
the cunning.
Oh yeah. We villainize our 7s and make them look dumb. We villainize our 3s and make them look cunning. We do ourselves in, but luckily a lot of our characters these days are getting backstory and redemption. And like we were watching Rise of the Guardians the other day and it has Jack Frost and they like do a backstory and I'm like, okay, everyone's getting redemption these days. This is so funny. Oh my gosh. It's so popular. And you guys know that's happening out with the new Cruella. So I haven't seen that yet. Have you?
Oh no, I am not like a big Disney movie person. If it wasn't on Disney Channel, I really have never seen it. Not that I like probably sit there watching Disney Channel these days, but if it's only like movies that I grew up with that I really love. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And you really grew up. Did you grow up with the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap group?
Yes. Okay. I did.
Yeah, that's fun. So we like those movies. Aw, well, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, I could go through some, but we went through a lot last year too. So let's talk about our main movie feature. For those who know Serendipity, Olivia is amazing with words. So if she wants to give a quick vibe on what's happening in the movie, yay. And if no problem, if you don't want to, I will.
Okay. I'll try my hand at it for a first time viewer.
Okay.
So this movie, I had like somewhat high hopes going in, but also it's not my normal genre. So I was like, not sure what to expect, but I can happily report that I did enjoy it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's not an easy feat.
I know. You know how particular I am. but yeah, it was really interesting because it was like such a complex plot where it's like a bunch of stories intertwining at once. So I think it was cool to be able to see over the short period of time, there's so much stuff that happens. And then, you know, all of it coming together basically in a couple of days at the very end is like mind blowing. But in terms of like the actual plot, this guy and this girl meet by happenstance. Was it Christmas Eve? I think it was Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Or 5 days before Christmas or so.
Okay.
Yeah, it was right there.
Yeah. So they're at a department store in New York and they're shopping and they come across the same pair of black cashmere gloves. And basically they like hit it off and they end up going for dessert at Serendipity in New York City. And so that's obviously where the movie gets its name, but it's really cool because the main girl is like, you know, I'm not really into telling people my name. Like I just want to see what happens. I want to let fate kind of guide me. And so they come up with this complex way of, if we're supposed to, you know, find each other, we will. And then it fast forwards. And now the guy main character is getting ready to get married and is starting to have those thoughts of like, but what if this amazing mystery girl is still out there? And so when the pressure, you know, gets to him, he's like, I have to go find her. And so then he tries to find her and it's a crazy, crazy story.
Yes, it is. You did it so well. It's such a beautiful movie. And we actually, Wes and I ate at Serendipity in New York after watching that movie. And we just had such a fun time going there and just, it's just such a good movie. If you haven't seen it, if you have, I know you're like, yes, I'm rewatching it this Christmas, but it's, I think even better than The Holiday in a lot of ways, because a lot of people last year on the survey, and you did it with me, they said they loved The Holiday and that's awesome. And my girls and I already watched that this year and we loved it. But this one is like, it's got that mystical element. Like you said, it's like anything can happen during Christmas. So I feel like it's okay if we tell you a little bit more about it, because I feel like you've already seen it. And if you haven't, you're probably like, either I'm going to shut this pod. Well, I'm not going to say that. If you haven't seen it, you're just like, okay, this sounds so good. Tell me more. So basically she ends up really even postponing her own plans, which started to get hot and heavy. And then he starts to, as you said, Olivia, get so serious about it that he's now on this mad hunt for her, and clues keep popping up. And all the while you hear the commentary of his best friend, Dean, who's saying, oh my gosh, this is actually ridiculous, but I love you because you're so passionate to his friend and you've been awakened from the dead. And that'll be a clue as we talk about types. But basically we have just his friend. I mean, yeah, his friend is just like wowed by his passion. And now we have her best friend, who's the skeptic, who's kind of a worn out skeptic, who's like, oh my gosh, Sarah, seriously. And that's her name, Sarah, but she's like, seriously, Sarah, like you're going to drag me back to New York City, even though we've already let this thing die. Like you had this whimsical moment years ago and now it's back and you're still on this whole, like, I have to find this guy. So it's a really shocking discovery when they actually find out that both were in sync and both were looking for each other. Right.
It's totally crazy. I think the best way to describe it is this. It's like a really well done Hallmark movie. Do you know what I'm saying? Like Hallmark movies, it's like obviously pretty cheesy, at least in my books, but I know some people that like are diehard Hallmark people.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Yes.
Literally the most like clean, nice, pure movies you could watch. So it's probably a really great thing that you are watching those movies.
Yes.
But this is like a really nice Hollywood, like cinematic version of a Hallmark movie that has a little bit more depth in terms of characters and that gives more backstory than Hallmark usually does. So I think it's really cool. Mm-hmm. If you do like that kind of movie, but you want to like a little bit better and like more spaced up, this is the one for you for sure.
Yes. Even if you have to pay $3.99 for it or something, it's totally worth it. So it'll be a great night, and it's a great date night movie, and it's a great on your own movie. Or I know I'm having people over on December 21st to do like, just hang out, finish up your Christmas wrap. Anybody can come over, like kind of a thing. And something like this playing would be fun. Now, obviously, because I love this movie, I wouldn't want to like always watch it like this, but it's this kind of movie that you can really have fun with your girlfriends or anything. So I'm so glad. And we'll type these characters. I hope you guys are typing them with us because we'll share on Instagram what we think it was and what you think it is. But I want to ask you, Olivia, we love to do this where we each write down who we think is which type. So let's start with some of the minor characters first. I don't know how many minor characters you did, so I'll just share my minor characters if you didn't do some. But did you do the best friends by any chance?
Yes, I did. I did. And you're going to go first because I want to hear your thoughts because you know this movie so well. And I feel like I have two types for everybody because I just like don't know 100% and I only watched it once. So I'm very curious to hear what you've typed them as because I feel like you're going to bring a lot more wisdom, if you will, into the situation.
Oh my gosh, you are so sweet. Like I am not the best at typing. Like I love when people come to me after they know their types, but then I just say, you know what? It's a movie. I'm going to type somebody. Jeez.
Go for it.
You know, like, I'm allowed to, it's a movie. So it's Jeremy Piven plays Dean Kansky, the best friend. And I typed him as a 3. And actually, speaking of which, hey, we were saying 3s get a hard time in movies. He plays a really nice guy. He wants his ego to be seen. He writes for the New York Times, but he writes the obituary section, but he doesn't tell people that he's like, I'm a Pulitzer Prize New York Times winning author. Ha ha. And so I think he's fun. He's witty. He has a very strong 9 vibe going too. So there's definitely that piston or ping pong going back. What did you think about him before I go on and on?
Oh my gosh. At Jonathan's rehearsal or whatever dinner that he had, his little like, maybe it's an engagement dinner. I don't know.
At
the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is such a riot. I was listening to his speech. And I'm like, this guy is so funny.
Groom's toast. Yes.
Yes. That's what it was. But it was so much fun. And like, he was obviously fine with like making fun of himself and looking silly and he didn't care. And it was like, he was going to do whatever he needed to do to be there for his best friend.
Yeah.
And I was definitely going back and forth on the types that I chose because of how we see him in the beginning and then how we see him towards the end.
Mm.
But he's such a cool guy. And like you're saying, you know, just to echo the sentiment of 3s never getting like nice characters in movies. He's so awesome. And he's a great representation of a really healthy, fun 3. And I think we need to see more of that in movies.
Oh my gosh. You thought 3 too?
Yes. I thought self-preserving 3.
Ooh, I love how deep you went with that. That's beautiful. And I really enjoy self-preserving 3s. I think they're very one-ish. And I think that they're just some of the most charming and funny people. And he's super funny. So I love that analysis too.
I think the best part is when, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. So if you haven't listened, maybe, or if you haven't watched the movie, maybe skip ahead like 15 seconds. But when he and Jonathan end up going to Sarah's house in California and the whole scene on the lawn where they're like tackling each other, trying to, he's like, no, don't look.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good guy right there.
It is because they think they see her being sexual with somebody else. And it's like his heartbreak moment when it's like, you know, that climactic moment of the movie. And you're like, oh, that's like a good word for that scene too.
I know, I was gonna say.
But basically you're like, no. And the best friend is like, I do not want you to see this. And that is the heart of a romantic 3. You're right. It's like the hugest heart ever. Let me take one for the team. Oh my gosh. Beautiful. So that's Dean. And his last speech in the movie, when he writes the obituary of Jonathan Traeger, who's the main character, is one of the most beautiful speeches in all of movies. Did you like that?
It was so good. And I thought it was so, it was just honestly kind of genius. Mm-hmm. Like it was such a cool way to kind of wrap everything up. And it does take a lot of, wit in a way, even though it like was a sad situation, it was still pretty witty. And I think it was just cool that he was able, like he knew his best friend so well that he's like, I'm going to write this for you. And I'm trying to write like a speech for your wedding and it came out like this. It's just like, again, another serendipitous moment of like, this wasn't supposed to be. And I just think it was so cool. And that's, it was kind of because of that and a couple of other things that I was like, is he a 6-wing 7? Cause he seems so loyal and like he doesn't want to be the center of attention. But then with the other things about like, you know, kind of being like, oh, I work at the New York Times, but not telling anybody that he does the obituaries and like, you know, some of the other funny things that he does. I was like, I'm not 100% sure, but he's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreeing that there's the whole 3-6-9 vibe. So for those of you who know the Enneagram really well, you know, that's kind of like the middle triangle of the Enneagram. So he's got that going on. He's a blast. He's witty, but he doesn't always have a handle on his own love life. So beautifully, when you see different story arcs going and the side character story arc is the one that kind of gets brought out too. And that's what happens for him. So we won't spoil every little thing, but yeah, his story arc comes out beautifully through watching his main best friend's story arc happen for him. So yeah, we influence each other. Our glow rubs off on each other. All right. So what do we think about her best friend? Her best friend, Eve, is played by, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting her actual name. I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Before I say that, because she's totally my, oh, so, okay. Now we're going to talk about her best friend and she's played by Molly Shannon. So Eve is her best friend and she owns a kind of like a mystical shop where they sell candles, like, you know, your, oh my gosh, Cupid's arrow kind of stuff. And it's definitely kind of like, wow, you're a little bit out there, but she's very grounded in actuality and she's actually sadly kind of playing people, which I hate that she does this, but she kind of plays people and she's selling them a line, basically all of her customers, because she doesn't even believe in her Casanova candles and incense and all that stuff. So that's her best friend, Eve.
She also cracked me up because I'm the scene you're talking about where she's like, oh yeah, the candles in there as well is going to be so great. She's like, this doesn't even work. What a loser. You know, like it's yes, just funny.
But my favorite part of her, but it's horrid.
So bad. But I'm also kind of like, you know, I mean, like, good on you for jumping on the bandwagon of something that's like working, you know what I'm saying? Like I couldn't do it, but I think it's kind of sick that you can, like, that's what's up. But, but I was like, okay, who could I see doing this? Because I do feel the loyalty there, but she's also kind of like, I don't even know a good way to put it, but when you see her talking to, Jonathan's fiance, Hallie, and her like weird thing about like, oh my gosh, you're here. And she kind of like, she doesn't invite herself, but she like almost does. And she's so bizarre about the whole thing. It makes it awkward, but like in a nice way. She makes it awkward because she's so excited. So I'm like, I don't know what she is, but I feel like with the whole shop of like, you know, she doesn't believe in any of it, but she's doing it to make bank.
Yeah,
I immediately was like, okay, is she a 3 that's like getting on this bandwagon because she knows it's going to bring in cash? And again, if so, like, that's awesome. So I was like, maybe she's a 1-to-1-3.
That is a really good analysis of her. And this is so mean, but just like the old Michael Scott days when I wouldn't claim him, I'm like, sure, let's put her to, you know, 3s. But really, I'm like, is she a 7 who's gone 5 and who's gone rogue of like, I've lost my mystical wonder and I'm just like off, you know? So
did she have the mystical wonder is my question.
I don't think
she did.
That did, but then I think she gets it back. So we have a believer, we have a Christmas story in the end. So I think she loses it for a while. She's, if we can say this term in this way, this is so ridiculous, but she's deconstructing and now she's reconstructing. And so it's, she's a funny character, but I love that you saw some like, hey, I'm witty, I'm going for it. I can get on the bandwagon. I saw some, oh my gosh, thinking triad, like she used to be full of faith. Now she's lost her faith and she'll, again, story arc will come back for her too. So fun character though. You're right. Molly Shannon was really funny on Saturday Night Live days.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know she was on SNL. That's hilarious.
Yeah. She and Will Ferrell got their start together. So those are like really funny old days.
Oh my
gosh. The old days.
Honestly, the old days are the best days. I mean, truly, SNL back in the day is the best and the only SNL I will watch.
It was so, you're right. Those classics were the best. And even when I was in middle school, I was watching because they were already like, oh my gosh, these are so good. So you and I probably have seen some of the same ones. So let's talk a little bit about the guy who's the store clerk. I mean, he is a side character, but he's really funny. Did you have any vibes from him?
I think the only vibe you could possibly get from him is a one. He's like, you know, extremely careful about following the rules and like upholding the company, but he's also kind of a sucker when he makes Jonathan. He's like, you know, I'll tell you, but I haven't met my sales quota. So if you want to, you know, you want to buy a tie and also like a three-piece suit because the quota is, you know, up here and you're currently here. That was so funny. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but it was Dan Levy, right? Or Levy.
I was trying to figure out his actual name. Okay.
Yeah. From Schitt's Creek.
Yes. Yep. It's him.
Oh my gosh. That dude is funny, but yeah, he has to be a one, right?
Yeah, I had him as a one-wing nine because I was like, he's clearly not in the right field in this way. Like, he's not wanting to help. Like, he's a store clerk who is like many of our listeners probably, and I'm sure we've been there during the retail times. You're like, I cannot believe I work retail right now. This is insane. It's Christmas. But he isn't like that one who's like, oh my gosh, like, I'm just here to help. Like, my good friend Claire works retail, and she was talking to me about like, she is so kind and she has a very strong 2-7-8 vibe. So for her, working retail is fun, not when people are mean, but like, it's part of her who she is. And she works at Aveda, and it's like a great fit in the mall. And so what's not a good fit for him is this job. Like, he needs clearly to go work at home, like a lot of my nine friends and clients love to do if they can. And the one part of him is obviously the stickler, like, rules are rules. So he cracks us up.
Him with the counter is like one of the best parts of the movie. And I love that it comes back around at the very end where they're like celebrating their anniversary, Jonathan and Sarah.
Yeah.
Oops, I didn't spoil it.
No, but you're fine.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, they're going to get together.
Right. Exactly.
But no, it's so funny. He's just like, this is the line. And if you cross it, like, I'm going to come for you. And not in an eight way, but in a very one, these are the rules and I'm following them and I'm going to uphold like the company policy type of a way.
Exactly. And I love how, like, being married to one, I know that they do it for good reason. And so I love Jonathan's line when he's like, he warms up. And I was like, yes, he warms up. Like,
He totally does. Cause he was like all for helping him, but it was like, he was going to do it by the book as much as possible, which I think is like the very classic one thing to do.
Exactly. So he was a good guy. So I love it. So, okay. So let's talk about the people who sadly are pretty nice side characters, but just didn't get ended up with. And that's always hard. Just like in Sweet Home Alabama, when Patrick Dempsey doesn't get Reese Witherspoon, you're like, oh, he's such a nice guy. This is how you feel sort of ish for the two side characters. But I will add, they did give us just enough of a dislike for them, in my opinion, that you're actually happy they didn't end up. Is that how you felt?
I don't know so much about Hallie. I felt like she was nice. Like, she didn't seem like, I didn't get any red flags from her. The other dude, you know, I know him from To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Yes, I love that.
But, you know, I was like, whoa, my man, you're a disaster. Like, you have gone off the deep end and you're a cheater and we have problems. Ooh,
you caught that too? I thought so too.
He's totally cheating, right?
Well, his agent said, he goes, no, you pay me to keep away the bad news. So I kind of took that as cheating, but I don't. Oh, you thought that when he saw in the window that was him cheating?
Yeah.
No, that was the younger sister. Sarah's younger sister was staying at Lars's house. And it was her. Okay. So backing up. Okay. The guy Sarah does not end up with, her former fiance at this point, is named Lars, and he's played by John Corbett. And he, but Kate Beckinsale is the main character that was dating him first. And he let her younger sister and her boyfriend watch their house. So when you were referring earlier to Jonathan and his best friend going to the house and the best friend trying to not let him see that sexual scene, it was the younger sister and her boyfriend having sex.
Oh, okay. I swear I thought it was Lars because I was looking in the window. I guess they just look really similar because I'm like,
they do. Worst. They both have long blonde wavy.
Okay. That's what it was.
It's okay. Cause I already had my six wing going where I was like, I think his manager said he keeps away the bad news, meaning he's like totally covering for him. So anywho, that's a possibility. So you did not like him in this movie.
I mean, I did because his character was so off his rocker. It was funny. But I was like, oh, this is so sad because when I tell you more about what I think about Sarah, I'm like, this guy's totally different than her. And she's sort of conformed, I think, to his way of doing things. And so I'm like, oh man, like this guy's funny as a character, but like, you know, would I want someone to end up with him? No.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to care much about her. He kind of is like, I'm going to do what I want to do, but like, you know, you're going to come with me, but if you don't want to, then I don't really care.
Yeah. And it was like, it's my way or the highway kind of a feeling and you're less important. And so, in that way, I thought he was an unhealthy 8. And I also saw some love and some helping in him and the fact that he wanted to share his music with the world. He's a musician. He also wanted to let them house it. He was like, this is family. A lot of 8s are very loyal to family and they understand the desire for fun and freedom. So I felt like there was some good traits to him and he genuinely cared. But it was the unhealthy part coming out of, you know, I have to have more. I'm watching my video and I want to make sure, like, why isn't everyone inviting me for a feast at the end of my music video in the village? And, you know, just really more and more and more, even though you were already getting a lot. And I also felt like he was taking Sarah's whole personality into himself with lust. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like give her back part of who she is. You've taken too much. Is that how you felt?
That's actually a really interesting breakdown because I wasn't quite picking up on those things. Yeah. I was getting much more, I hate to like say this again, but I was getting more of the 3 vibe similar to the best friend, Sarah's best friend, because it kind of felt like he was like, didn't he have like another band before? Isn't that kind of what they were talking about? And it's like, now he transitioned into this because it's like the hot thing to do. And like, it's going to bring in more people. So I felt like, okay, there's like some forethought here of like, you know, maybe maybe this is going to work for me, but also he's like, why aren't these people throwing me a feast and stuff like that? And I felt like that was more of like wanting to be in the spotlight versus wanting like a lustful thing. Does that make sense?
It does. And I mean, I can see it going both ways. In the 3-way, I noticed that he was like, I want you with me. And when she says, I need a weekend to think about things, when really she's going off to look for this mystical union with Jonathan. I think that he picks up on that as a 3 would. 3s are very good lie detectors. He was like, hey, I showed up at your hotel. Like, I want time with you. And I think also 3s really want time together with their person. So I can see why you thought he was a 3.
Yeah. And definitely, I think one of the funny things is he is very like family oriented and loyal, just like a lot of 3s are. So because they do have that connection to 6 and the connection to 9. And I think it's cool because we see a lot of different parts of him oddly as like a minor character in the movie. Mm-hmm. And so him showing at the hotel, I'm almost like, I didn't quite know if it was manipulation on his part of like, oh, let me come here all like sad and I need you and I'm not, you know, or was it genuine? Yeah. So I didn't quite know if it was the thing of like, I'm going to adapt to the situation or if it was genuinely like, I really care about you and I was willing to come all this way in order to see you. So there's a lot of different things where I also was like, is he a 7? Because he seems like maybe it's like he hops on the next big thing because he's just like, well, this is boring. I want to do this now. Or I want to do this, my music video, prolong the experience. You know, it's like, had we had more time with him, we would have been able to come to a determination.
Thank you. I agree because we could have even gone 2 with him of, hey, he likes to have his love, his family, his connections. Mm-hmm. He likes, you know, that, you know, I'm important. I'm needed. He really, in the video, he's saving a village from starvation with his music. He's lulling them like the Pied Piper. It's so weird, but you know, not that twos are weird, but he just does that. And so 2, 3, 7, 8, all possibilities with John Corbett, and we need more time with him now. All right. We have, he played opposite of the ex-girlfriend in it too. So that's fun. My kids and I watch in Ramona. We love Ramona Quimby, Ramona Imbizas, and Hannah's named after them. So Bridget Monahan, I think I'm saying her name right, plays Haley or Helly, the girlfriend of Jonathan Traeger, the fiance. And she is, like I said, she plays opposite John Corbett in Ramona Imbizas. I took a long time to say that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I grew up, like, I think I was in middle school when Ramona Imbizas came out. And so, of course, like Selena Gomez was the best thing since sliced bread growing up.
Yes. Yes.
So I was like, no way. And also Joey King. I mean, you know, I love
Joey King. I do.
But
yes.
Anyways, I love that this movie has a lot of connections to things that I grew up with. Because this movie obviously came out when I was pretty young.
Yeah, you're right. I think it did. And I love that it has those connections for you. Like, it was really kind of you to watch it with me. And then you got a blessing. I'm just joking.
But it did. Now my mom wants to watch it.
Yay. Oh my gosh. Your mom is going to love it. I'm friends with her mom too. Her mom's a 5. Okay. So shout out Bridget. And then we're also talking about Bridget Monahan. Another
Bridget.
So, and not to confuse people. So anyway, right now though, seriously, this woman had me just, I felt the same vibes as you did. I felt really bad for her. I just want to start out by saying it's really hard when you love somebody and you're good to somebody and you've put in a lot of time commitment to somebody, and hard isn't even the word for it. There's not words. And then they just fall out of love with you. Oh, that's what I feel for her, huh?
It's really sad because I feel like, you know, it was kind of easy to find things to potentially hate about John Corbett's character. Yeah. And so this one, it was like, she literally did nothing wrong. Like, if anything, she's been so supportive of him, and every scene that we see of them together, like she's great for him. And so it's just sad that, like, you know, it's unfortunate to see good people get hurt.
Yeah.
But that's what the story's about, right?
Yeah, it's true. And I think that she's very one or two. I think 2-wing-1 or 1-wing-2 were my analysis with her. I saw her anger and frustration come out. And if I was to say 2-wing-3, it wouldn't work, because a 2-wing-3 wouldn't be able to handle all the times Jonathan leaves and goes off to find his true love. A 2-wing-3 would have been like, where are you right now? Like, you're not going, there's no way you're out of here, you know, or a social 2. So it just, the fact that she's so, and I'm not saying that's bad, because they would have been on it, but the fact that she's so honoring and kind and caring, I was just like, those or a possible 9. It broke my heart for her. Now the anger, why bring an anger triad, is there's one moment that stands out to me, because I think it's an important one, when he's trying to talk to her about something important. And it's almost his last stand. Like, I'm going to give up on my thoughts about finding somebody else, my true love, before I get married. And I'm leaning in and looking and listening to you. And then she interrupts him and is like, we need to yell at the person who's the janitor of this place, the superintendent. And she starts to bang on the heater and yell and be rude to the person who's coming to fix. And I used to be in apartment management, and I know how, you know, people don't always get treated right in that field, or especially if they're working maintenance. And so I was sensitive to her just yelling at somebody, just nasty.
Yeah.
I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, for sure. And that's kind of one of the things that honestly confused me about her, because it seems like she's totally fine under the radar all these other times, and then this, like, set her off. And so I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, it made it really hard for me to figure out a type for her, but I definitely think 1 would make sense, because it would be like, she talks about the fact that they've come to fix this things so many times before, and it's like,
yeah,
isn't it working? And so she gets irritated that someone didn't do their job correctly, and now it's affecting her. And so I do see where a 1 would be like, this should be working because it was fixed and you didn't do your job the way that it should have been done, and so now I'm having to deal with the consequences, which obviously, like, rightfully so, it's frustrating,
right?
I definitely think all the other situations together would make for either the 2-1 or the 1-2.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. And she's a great person. And I know I have a one arrow and I could be that person in the movie. So I'm hopefully not, because that was my field and I wouldn't want to do that to anybody. But I think that we all have to remember, like, whatever the types are, we have our weak moments and our good moments, and she's a wonderful person. So it is unfortunate that she doesn't end up with him, but luckily she and John Corbett get together later in Ramona and Beezus. So the two fiancés do end up together. Okay. So there's my seven, happy ending for them. Now let's talk about our main two characters. How about you tell us what your thoughts are about Sarah, and then I'll tell about Jonathan, if that's okay.
Okay. Yeah. So for Sarah, I struggled and I told you about this one.
Yes.
So initially I'm like, well, she loves spontaneity and this romanticized idea of life, right? She enjoys helping others to better themselves in her job as a therapist. And she definitely subscribes to the idea of fate and kind of letting that control her decisions and her life. And she likes leaving things up to chance and thinks that it's, again, like this romantic idea of, well, anything could happen. And so the one thing that I think is interesting is she equally seems very grounded, but when there's even a glimpse of possibility for something, she's like, you know what? I just got to go get it. And so it was very interesting to try and figure out what's going on. But initially I said a seven wing six, social or self-preserving, because I felt like she has the groundedness of the six where she's like, you know what? I need to give up on this. I need to just stay loyal. And you can't be lost in Neverland forever type of a thing. But she also had the rose colored glasses thing of a seven, and especially of a self-preserving, or was it self-preserving? Maybe it's a social seven. I'm forgetting now.
No, that's the social. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I think it's really cool because there's this duality to her that I think the seven wing six is really perfect for. However, I did also wonder if she was a 1-1-9 because of the way that she kind of abandons herself to John Corbett's character. And it's just like, I'm not into the hippy dippy thing, but like, I mean, if you want to be, then I'll become super hippy dippy. And so I was like, what is going on? And also she obviously wanted to get married sooner and he wasn't kind of getting it going on that end. And so then when it happens, she's like, oh, okay. And it's like, oh, we're going to do all these things. And then he's like, John Corbett's character is like, well, I'm doing something different now. And she's like, oh, okay. And just abandons what she wants in order to merge with somebody else. And so I'm like, is she a nine? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You did a great job with that. I had sexual nine going. I had sexual seven going because social seven can be like, everything's great, like rose colored glasses, but sexual seven can be like in the dream world and pulling Eve along. Like when Eve was like, I don't want to go on any kind of like charades with you and escapades. Like, is this fake? Are you tricking me? And she's like, no. And then she was. So I was like, that's a very selfish vibe right there, is you didn't even think of your best friend. Like that hurt me to see the way she treated her best friend and lied about her true intentions. But I was like, that could be a very unhealthy seven move. And then I also, of course, like we already said, the nine vibes, majorly, 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 where we're just begging for her. Do not give yourself up for a guy who doesn't see the beauty and who you are and the plans that you already have set. And of course I was like, I was touched by the plans she was trying to make for her and her clients. Cause I do that all the time. I do that a little bit too extreme because I'm in the planning triad where I'm like, these plans are set. I can't change them. And sometimes you do need to allow plans to change. And I know that's hard for us in the planning triad, five, sixes and sevens, but anyway, so nine, seven. And then my other analysis was her. For me, I was thinking nine or four. And so I really kept feeling the, a lot of the four clients I have are very mystical in the way that they feel that everything should be a perfect union and that spirits will line up. We'll have our romance when it comes to us. We do not have to seek it out. Things come the way they're meant to come. But unfortunately, when you live like that, as she found out for many years of her life, it was hard to just maintain practicality because there was nothing. Like they do give you enough backstory to say, these people looked for each other for years to no avail. So like, you can't live your life forever like that. And even though we might make the argument, yes, eventually it was totally serendipitous and it was, she had to make some moves. She had to get on a plane, get that going. And maybe fate would have done it anyway, but there is a sense of we need practicality and fate. So I did see a lot of four, especially young four, who is like all mystical, if that makes sense.
I have never heard that about a four, but that is so interesting. Yes. Because I'm actually, you kind of perfectly described what I know of this one person. And I'm like, ooh, I wonder, that would actually make sense if she's a four. But that is really interesting. I think the one part of that that would confuse me, and maybe this is people listening would also have the same confusion. Mm-hmm. She doesn't seem very emotional, like I would assume a four in that situation mm-hmm. would be. And also mm-hmm. fours that I do know, I feel like they would be so gutted about mm-hmm. like not finding their love and wouldn't really be able to like, I guess
that's a good point,
you know, reel it back, because you see when she's with that client, when we see her years later, she's like, you know, you can't just live your life like that, like give up on it. And I feel like the four mm-hmm. would still be like sad about even the topic. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does. And my brother being a really strong four, mm-hmm. Would be like, never give up on true love, you know, but I think that even, let me put it this way though, he's been through a lot and he would say, once you make a commitment to somebody, you stick with it. So I think fours have a lot more nuance than we realize too. Like there might be a season of a four's life where they're like, I get the romantic idealism and I do mourn and I lament and I have my drink or whatever on New Year's Eve, because I'm thinking about it and longing for the past and I'm in contemplation about it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go back to my one arrow and do what's right. So I think it's a possibility, but she's a young character. It's doubtful that she's worked that all out. And so I love how you're like, I don't know. That's a good check on me for her being a solid four. There's some four elements, but maybe not a four herself.
No, I do love that though, because I think we do miss the fact that fours can be very tenacious.
Yeah.
And they do have that connection to one. And so they mm-hmm. feel the need to follow through on things when they've said yes. But that's interesting, just because I know a lot of people are probably like, well, I immediately assume fours are more emotional and we don't see that. So I'm like, this is a good chance to ask the question.
No, it's a great question. I love it for our audience too, because sometimes a four, especially a self-preserving four, might go and have that time of lament in private. And that's how I am in my four subtype, is I will go and have my lament in private. And I think that's what some would do, is maintain a cheerful countenance on the outside, but some would not. You're right. Some would be flailing on the ground. And so I like how, you know, you're like, but can we do that? And it's like, I don't think we can solidly give her a four unless it's in her tri-type. So love that we've got a 4-7-9 for her, because obviously I know why I like this movie now. And my good friend and coach on my team, Melissa, loves this movie too. And she's a 2-7-9. So I see why we both love it.
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. I love it.
Yes. And let's talk about our last and final character of the movie, Jonathan Traeger, the hero of the story.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Do you like him? Do you think he's a good actor, John Cusack?
Yeah, I've seen him in something else. I cannot remember what it was, but
16 Candles. He's a teenager. You've seen him in Runaway Jury, one of my absolute favorite movies. Okay, maybe you haven't.
This is a confession time. The only John Hughes movie that I like is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Everything else I hate.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
So I haven't seen him in 16 Candles.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've seen him in something else that was like, I guess, more recent than those movies.
Yeah.
No, it's so funny because he does this really great job of being a little bit like harebrained, but also like kind of slothy. I don't know. It's like, it's the perfect mashup of the two. If he was like a 7 and a 9 into one, that's him.
Yeah. You really did just encapsulate who he is, because there are a lot of 7 and 9 vibes with him, which is probably why I ended up typing him to be a 6 wing 7, because the 6 is going back and forth to 9. And then such a funny side. 6 wing 7s are very witty and funny, as everyone knows about you. And so, so I love how he's just like, you know, that is twisted and sick to her, like when she won't give her name, and just funny little witty commentary that he throws in and out. Of course, as you were, you know, alluding, we have some 9 vibes going, because he gets woken up and Dean, his best friend, when he's writing that, that obituary about his friend, he's like, wow, I never knew such passion was in him, because he's the thinking type and he was just making his plans with his life without passion. And he was like, oh my gosh. So it's really fun when you find a six who finds their passion, who lets it out. They're reactive types ultimately, but oftentimes with worry. And in this way, I think it's similar, like, but it's an emotional worry. Like, oh my gosh, I'm about to marry somebody that I don't like, and I'm freaking out. And I feel like a seven or a nine might just say, I'm doing it, it'll be fine, I'm rationalizing it as a seven, or I'm a nine and I have a check in my spirit, but I'm not listening. And I think a lot of sixes would do that too, to be honest, because they're not trusting themselves. Well, what do you think I should do? But I feel like that was what made him so brave, is that he stepped into his courage and he was like, I'm not being honest with myself. I don't love this woman that I'm about to marry.
That is fascinating. I'm taking that all in right now, because I was wondering if he was a six, but then I was like, I know 0% of sixes that would be like, I'm going to go get on a plane to the other side of the country for something that may not even work out. And, you know, it's like the night of my wedding rehearsal. I cannot even imagine. That is insane. And I'm probably like one of the more bolder sixes of the three. And so it's like,
yeah, you are.
Do it. I doubt he would. Because he definitely seemed more of like the self-preserving six. That's like the two-ish kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But I actually said either 1-1-2 or 1-1-7. Sorry, I don't know if you use sexual or not.
Oh, I so like I either always, one. Yeah, either one.
So I kind of felt that, because it just like back to what you were saying about Sarah, this sort of dreamlike fantasy thing. And he was willing to like completely ditch his other plans in order to do something. I mean, what he did was pretty selfish, because he put a lot of other people out, you know, that came to the wedding, or his fiance and her family. Like, I mean, that's a lot.
I know.
He did it for good reasons, but it impacted a lot of people negatively. And and especially because he didn't give anybody like a heads up. There was no, hey, I think I have reservations. It was just like, I'm gone. No one can find me. No one knows where I am. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a seven is really good, and a two actually would be very good at hyping their friends up about joining them on a mission, you know, because I think you need the best friend who's going to be like that six that's going to be with you, but they're not actually having to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that was really fun. He has the kind of eyes wide open, or not eyes wide open, but like the like mystical part of him that's like, there could be something out here. He looked so hard. And every time he saw a book stand or a bookstore, he went and looked for this book. And, you know, he was just always searching. And if you know twos, you know that they're extremely tenacious, just like fours. And I feel like he never gave up, whereas Sarah kind of gave up in a way. She gave up by like sleeping to her desires, if that makes sense. And so seeing him, I was like, I definitely feel like he has the deep love in his heart of a two, but also the crazy, like, I'm going to just take off and go do this because it's now or never of a seven. So I don't know.
Yeah. I love how we both met with him on seven, because I said seven wing and you said seven. And I think that's what we both saw, is that feeling of, I could do it all. And I've talked about that when you're young and you're a seven, you're like, I could do it all. Now, I wouldn't have done that on my wedding day by any means. And I am a wing six, so maybe that's part of that. But it's the absurdity of thinking you could get on a plane, still come back and make it in time for your wedding, that nothing's going to go wrong. That makes a seven sometimes. And so I think that that's, a very key point we're making, that he had some of that going and he wins in the end because he was right. But it's at the cost, like you said, of a very dear fiance and an entire expensive wedding and parents on both sides. And so it's just love will save the day kind of a feeling. And I think that a six has a lot of, I mean, sevens can have a ton of morals and have their one space going, but a six often has such loyalty that it's an even farther stretch. And I love that he's neurotic enough to have a lot of six traits. And so it's funny, we initially thought of her as a seven wing six and we merged toward her more being a nine. And I almost think we're ending with him being more of the seven wing six.
Potentially, because I feel like there's just I mean, like having this conversation is stressing me out. Like, how could you get on a plane to the other side of the country and drive to her house and expect that you could be back on the other coast for your rehearsal dinner? That's
that's horrid.
Like, that is so stressful. Like, going to the airport, stressful. That is a disaster. So I'm like, I feel you on the six. I do. But mm-hmm. I feel like the duty is just too strong.
Ooh, that's good insights. Yeah. That's really good insights that our sixes can be diehards for doing what is right.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Wow. For sure. I think it's so cool because even though like he went about it all wrong, I do mm-hmm. think it's a great example of the lengths that sevens and twos will go to fight yeah. for what they believe in. And even if it sounds crazy and if everybody else is saying this will never happen or, you know, your head's in the clouds, they're like, I still believe and I'm still going to go for it. And we yeah. need more of that in the world. And I think this is in a way a really great representation of that.
I do too. That's a great reminder. And I think twos are, as you said, some of the most tenacious people in the world for that. And I've known a lot of twos to see the person that they wanted and go for it, especially the two wing three, where they're like, I found my person. I went for it. I laid claim and I've got him. And look at what a good guy I got or a good woman. And so I think twos being heart types, there is a heart knowing sometimes. And so that pushes them on when they're like, I feel it so strongly. And sometimes there's somebody that they might get with who's not a heart knowing person. And just because the two was so strong in that, I know we're meant to be together, it can bring in a lot of good vibes. And that person might say like, wow, to be chosen by you, to be loved is such a gift. So that might've even been just so flattering to Sarah too, to think about like, oh my gosh, she's been looking for me all these years. Like, oh my gosh, what a cool romantic story, right?
It's so true. I do find it really interesting. And I even want to tie in what you were talking to me about on text like a week ago with tropes. I'm interested to see if you think that there's one that like they align with.
Thank you, because we definitely wanted to talk trope here today too. And I love the tropes that are like lovers meant to be. My daughter Melody loves the enemies to lovers tropes.
She's so funny. I love it. That's so her.
It is. She's hilarious. And then do you have any favorite tropes or do you see any particular tropes here?
Man, I feel like isn't there one like the dreamer, something like that? It's like the dream couple or something. I don't know. I'm saying that all wrong 100%.
No, but it's true. Yes.
There's something like that. And then the other one is the trusty sidekick. I feel like that's definitely Jonathan's best friend here. I mean, it has to be, right?
Yes, it has to be. And it's, I mean, I always resonate with the sidekicks in movies more. Sadly, I always joke with that, but like, seriously, I'm like, I'm that sidekick or this sidekick. And so like I've said before, kind of cynically, the twos are always like the main people. See, we landed with Jonathan being a two, but I actually like that. And I don't want to be in the limelight. So I kind of love that sometimes people do pull forward a trusty sidekick role. And I think that that's a really cool thing. And some have enough energy to be in the central role, but I think that it was nice to see the side characters given some kind of recompense. Like he actually ends up with his wife, and it's like almost like the person listening to this podcast who's like, I had no passion in my life, then I heard about somebody who had passion, and now I'm going to buy my wife roses because you have heart, man. So what trope would that be of like, you know, this trusty sidekick gets the girl, you know, like that's a great side thing.
It is really good. And I think it's fun that it happened before the main characters did.
Ooh,
I think it's interesting that like he really had his own separate moment. And he, in the end, was the one who kind of like was pulling Jonathan along of like, hey, you showed me and you've been a like force of good in my life of just showing me what to do. And now if I can say anything to you, it's going to be do the same thing in your own life. Like, don't give up, because if I would have given up, I would be giving up on like the greatest love of my life. And so I just think it's cool that he had a separate moment and he was able to pull Jonathan up from the depths of despair of like, she's gone, and to now being like, you know what, I'm going to go after her and I'm going to still do it. And he, in essence, saved a marriage along the way.
Oh my gosh, that's beautifully said. And it's just a beautiful movie because not only do they highlight, don't get married to somebody if they're not the right fit, if you have reservations in your spirit. But also if you're already married and now you've just hit a wall, like the best friend and his wife, it's worth fighting for. And so he found heart, he found passion again. And I just don't think there's a better movie in that way that you could say like, hey, Jonathan, if you look down the road after they're old and gray, they're going to have some times like this, Jonathan and Sarah. And the best friend is the foreshadow of this is what's coming your way, but don't lose the heart because I saw that you lost it before. And even though your years with Hallie were like, okay, they could have been so much better and brighter had you had full heart. And so luckily he ends up with Sarah. Then we have Dean ending back up with his wife. And I guess Olivia and I are just happily ever after on this movie. I love it.
I know, it's so fun. But it, just to like go back to what you said about like, yeah. I'm always the sidekick. I always relate to the sidekick. Honestly, the sidekick is the best place to be because if you've ever seen one of my favorite shows on earth, Psych,
watching- I keep wanting to watch it and I haven't yet.
You have to because the trusty sidekick, Gus, he is so funny. And honestly, a lot of the humor is like, is from watching his face as he's reacting to what the main character is saying. And he's the one that inevitably is like the funny one of the group. And it's like, ooh. he never gets the glory for it. And he's freaking hilarious. His facial expressions alone are enough to watch the show. But I just want to say sidekicks are often the place to be because why be in the spotlight and deal with all that crap when you could be the best friend of somebody in the spotlight and get all the perks, but none of the crap.
I love it. Thank you. Spoken like somebody with a true seven wing. We're like, that's how true. Can we manage this? Because this is too crazy. So I'm just going to step over to the side. So that is what I love that we just got to just do that. We got to be the sidekicks on this movie. We got to be the critics. We both loved it. And that was the best that you watched it. We also got a chance to talk a little bit about Tim Allen in Santa Claus. So that's a fun one if you do have kids or even if you don't.
I actually have another recommendation for somebody that's like, I don't want to watch like some, you know, sappy romantic movie with a main character that I actually think is a five. Ooh, so, or maybe like a, I don't know, she's a five or a nine. You'll have to watch the movie and let me know because I think it's one you can watch with the girls. But it's called The Age of Adeline. It's one of my all time favorite movies. It takes place on New Year's Eve. And so it's like in the theme. But I think it's cool because she's much more reserved and like down to earth. And I definitely get like five wing six vibes, maybe five wing four, or like maybe a nine wing eight. You have to watch it. Let me know what you think. But if you're not into the super romanticized thing and you want something a little bit more grounding, that's a really cool movie to watch. Also, if you want a comedy,
four would love that. Yeah.
She totally would. She totally would. But if you want something that's just straight funny and like not, you know, not necessarily the romance-y type thing. Yeah. Holiday in Handcuffs is one of the best Christmas movies on earth, period.
Oh, really? Oh my gosh. Thank you. So
it's my five mom's favorite Christmas movie. And
oh my gosh. Is it appropriate for all ages?
Ish, probably like 13 and up. Okay, gotcha. I think it's rated TV-14. It originally came out on ABC Family, which is now Freeform. So you can probably get it on demand there, but I actually just scored it at Goodwill for like 99 cents. So
not fair. Coming over to your place.
I know. No, but it's so good. So if you aren't like, oh, I don't love like the super romantic-y typical holiday movie, then those are some good options if you still want to enjoy the holidays, but in a different way.
Thank you for loving on our fives listening. And not that they don't love the romantic too, but like, I love that your five mom likes that one. And also you told us about Age of Adeline and that's very five-ish from what I've seen. So I'm so glad we get to talk all the types. I feel like everyone was represented and we tried to give some impressions on each. So you will have to tell us what you guys think about this episode. Thank you so much for doing it with me, Olivia. This was a blast.
Oh my gosh. I had so much fun. Thanks for having me on. We'll have to do another annual Christmas movie one again next year. We'll have to come up with some good ones.
Definitely. It's your turn next year too for me to watch your movie.
Okay.
Okay. I am so glad we had that fun together. I hope that you will be watching Serendipity this week, this weekend, grabbing your honey for a date night. Olivia was so fun and sweet. After this episode, she brought me a copy of Serendipity. And well, we actually met at Starbucks, but it was so wonderful to see each other. I'll have to share the pic on IG. And if you don't regularly listen, tune in every Monday. Or if you are looking for a relationship guide, make sure you take a look at our Enneagram and Marriage Glow guides, because I give tips for every type with every other type for communication, and they make great stocking stuffers and communication in all areas, including date night, your intimacy life. So make sure you check that out at enneagramandmarriage.com, along with our brand new Enneagram and Marriage Glow Relationship Planners, because if you want flexibility and fun and all kinds of love, those are great. And don't forget to use the code Relationship Planner for $10 off. And that will help you as you are getting started on getting your healthiest and happiest relationship too, so that you can be a real life serendipitous story. And if you love this show or you love this episode, please make sure to leave a 5-star review over at Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend or week. Bye, guys.